In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stankoven gets it back behind the net. Flip left side shot. Score! Ben! Set up by Stankoven. The captain doubles the lead and it's 3-1 Stars.
Good morning, Metroplex. That is how we start off the Thursday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We got Chris Strong in for a sick Peyton Russell. Caitlin not taking a day off, though. Getting us live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Good morning.
Good morning.
Had to put on the defrost today for the first time. I don't like that. I don't like that because I feel like I'm trapped in the driveway. And as soon as I have like the slightest opening, and it's usually probably like at like 4 o'clock on the window, I'm like, can I drive? Just looking through that gap versus sitting here and risk being late to work. But eventually after about 3 minutes, I was good to go.
Do you not use your garage?
I will now. The wife, misorganized. Who's that viral?
Marie Kondo.
She condoed the garage finally. So I will start to be parking in the garage.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like there's no garage that actually fits the exact, you always got to go down one in garage size of what they tell you. So if it's a 2-car garage, I'm not fitting 2 cars in there. It's not happening. If it's a 3-car garage, I'm getting 2 cars in.
So. Used to be able to, then they decided that wasn't going to be good enough anyway. The cars are getting bigger too. Like the trucks are bigger than ever before.
Yeah.
I can't fit mine. Truck doesn't fit.
In the garage?
Doesn't fit.
What? The height?
No, the length.
The length?
Yeah, it doesn't fit. Uh-huh.
That sucks.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did you have to go out and actually start it, or did you remember to turn on the defroster the night before and remote start?
Oh, I don't have a remote start. It sucks.
Or Bluetooth, right?
Not that I know of.
You're still living in 1996 with your vehicle.
Oh, yeah. I start the car as soon as I get
it. I remembered last night to crank it over to heat before I was going to bed. I was like, oh, crap, I'm going to want to remote start that in the morning.
Yep, it's great. It comes on. The vehicle comes on. The steering wheel warmer's already on.
It's perfect.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Speaking of the ice, we open up with the Dallas Stars, courtesy of Victory Plus. They score 2 empty net goals, but this game was 3-2 with less than 2 minutes left. You heard Stanky with the highlights continue to make his case for Rookie of the Year, 5-2 over San Jose.
And Robertson gets, he's been struggling a little bit scoring-wise.
10 games.
And he got real quick, he got off the schneid there. I don't know what the schneid actually is.
Right.
But he got off of it. So that was a good thing to see from him. And quite frankly, Otter, one of those goals was a breakaway. So, I mean, when it was a regular non-breakaway 5-on-5, I mean, he was tremendous in this one and really kept San Jose at bay, which I was like, didn't they just play them like a couple of weeks ago? And they did. They only have one game left with them the rest of the year. We're a month into the season.
Pete DeBoer shuffled his line and it worked. Wyatt Johnston moved up to the first line, and all three members, Johnston, Hintz, and Robertson, all scored. Spittle says it was a 9-game goalless streak. I thought it was 10, but that's why there are Spits and Suds for you to check out. Stars get the W.
Would you like to check in on the deserve to win-o-meter?
Nope.
63% for the Dallas Stars.
Oh, look at that.
So they, it could be 3-2 late. It doesn't much matter. The expected goals in this one were 4.4 to 2.17, Sean. So more than doubled them up. They had this in hand. There was no issue there at all.
Okay.
And just so you remember, we got Washington this weekend for the Cowboys, so we're going to have Major Tutty and Money Puck in the same week.
So it's a 10-point spread. Has Vegas finally caught on to make this a little bit uncomfortable for anti-Cowboy bets? Because my big regret in not gambling anymore is not just betting a thousand every single week in knowing that the Cowboys weren't going to lose by more than 7 or 7.5 points. Is this getting to an uncomfortable area for betting against the Cowboys now at 10?
Well, it's interesting because like a lot of handicappers will tell you that they don't really bet and make odds themselves on backup quarterbacks. They need about 3 games. You need about 3 games of data before they really figure out what the backup quarterback is. And we're at 2.5 for Cooper. So that might be enough. And that's why this thing is dropping. Plus, they're using his performance in here. And maybe one of those games was so bad because of the neck. And, you know, the other one wasn't great either. But it may be overdone. It probably should be 8.5.
Right? It's up a little. It's up to 10.5 now, according to Vegas. So, I mean, look, I need to go back and look over the last 5 weeks since you've been saying this. I need to see how much money you've left on the table by not placing these bets. Because I'm sure you could have gotten a bigger garage or something at this point. And so I need to go look and see what that is. But, yeah, 10.5, that's probably not enough to me. You may think it should be 8, Chop, but, I mean, they're showing us they're going to lose by 20 every week until we see otherwise.
By the way, the Schneid is a term from the card game Gin, which I used to play as a kid. My grandma, I don't remember that.
Gin Rummy?
Yeah.
But
I don't remember Schneid.
So what is it?
I don't know. Twitter just said that's what the Schneid is.
Okay.
Twitter hit me up with it.
Out to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, Deron Bland was a full participant. What does that actually mean?
It actually means nothing because it was a walkthrough on Wednesday, and so it was literally just a projection. That's them saying, if we would have done a full practice, he would have taken part in the whole thing. And so that's at least a positive. I think he is going to be back and playing this weekend. But
is that the weirdest injury that we've had around here and trying to figure out in years?
Probably, yeah, in terms of one that's lingered this long. Because when he got hurt initially, their most optimistic goal was he could be back for Pittsburgh. And that was the fifth game of the season. And we're sitting here now. This has dragged on way longer than even the most aggressive windows would have said he would still be hurt.
Obviously, other than the mental aspect of the injuries from people not being able to come back, like they thought Gallup could come back earlier than he did and he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Gallup never came back.
Right. But like they even thought he could be ready and he was like still waiting a couple of weeks. Also, like Evan Carter this year with the back, I felt like we expected him back much sooner, and he never did.
Yeah,
this is the danger though of like foot injuries. Those ones always seem to for athletes when you start dealing with a broken foot or there's something in there that can those can linger. It feels like way longer than I thought. A lot of people thought I didn't, but I mean, a lot of people felt like Micah's lingered longer than they were anticipating, and so. But yeah, this has been a really weird one in terms of the timeline.
CeeDee Lamb was dealing with a foot issue. Tank says he's still close to returning, going to take his time and make sure he's healthy, according to Clarence Hill. Made it clear this is not the end for him. He said he is not going out injured. He is playing next year. Where is the question? And Bones Fossil getting emotional. Man, he made Marquise Bell sound like Steve Tasker the other day. Dislocated left shoulder that may require surgery, and Bones was having a tough time with it.
He's put as good a special teams ball through 10 games as I can remember. I mean, man. And he just, you know, he got hurt doing what he does best, just flying in there, diving, and he's going to be okay. But, man, just, gosh. Spent so much time with these guys in meetings and practice field and the game field and the emotions of, you know, undrafted to wanting a little bit more and accepting his role and thriving in his role. Damn, and I'm hurting for him because he was on a mission. He was as good as we've had in a while. So that one hurt.
Say what you want about all the awful fake punts, but man, this sounds like a genuine guy, Bones Fossil.
It does.
I'll never forget him going into the media tent in Oxnard to draw up the new kickoff rules for the media and explaining it to them.
It almost felt like he realized, though, that he sounded too compassionate there, and he had to stop in the middle and go, like, he's going to be okay, by the way. Like he realized, like, oh, crap, this sounds like he's dying. I gotta be clear real quick. He's going to recover from the injury. It just sucks to see him go out, and this is why if they ever... which they won't, but if they ever fired Mike McCarthy, that's the interim head coach, would be in all likelihood Bones Fossil.
RJ Choppy has come up with a defense for the player that everyone is calling delusional after saying this on his podcast.
I'm going to put this out there. We're a damn good football team. I know the scores ain't showing it, and I know obviously people feel like we got so many missing pieces, but I just truly believe, like, you almost got to go to things like things that we messing up on. Like, I think our defense has really turned things around. Like, up until that last quarter when they got that touchdown defense, we only really gave up those two touchdowns in that first quarter. But other than that, we gave up 6 points in the other two quarters.
He's not wrong in the sense of the defense has improved. The defense is still not good. That's a big problem.
Listen,
you know what this sounds
as the
like?
Only
you know what it sounds like? It sounds
athlete like, here.
Oh gosh,
this is not delusional. This is how you have to be as an athlete. Everybody thinks they're better than their production. Everybody does. You go to any sport, guys in a slump. We're better. I'm a better hitter than this. Just not hitting the ball right now. You play golf. I know I'm a better golfer than this. Just didn't score. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal if you don't try to be introspective and make adjustments. But to think that you are better talent-wise than what you're putting out there on tape or what you're doing at work, that's how you get through the day. That's how you get through the process that is life at your job. There is absolutely nothing wrong with this. To fans, sports is win or lose. To people who never played team sports, it is you're either good or you're bad. But to athletes, it is not like that. It is a process to get better by each day. It is a process to be able to get to where you want to go that you have to think that you're better than you actually are. There's no problem with this.
Well, thank you, Dr. Oz, but you're dead wrong. Okay. And you're delusional, too. If Micah just wanted to say, look, we're better than our record, we're a better football team than these scores, fine. I can go along with that whole spiel. I would sign up for it. For him to say we're a damn good football team is stupid and delusional and no defense. You want to believe, hey, we're not as bad as these scores. We're not as bad as the record. Okay. We're a damn good football team. That's where he lost me.
I don't even know if you can say they're not as bad as their record, because I think Baltimore and San Francisco are final scores that look way closer than they actually played.
Because over the span of two quarters, you gave up 6 points. What about all the other weeks when you're giving up the 35?
Look, they had the worst in EPA per play. They were the worst defense in the NFL a couple weeks ago. Jacksonville has passed them now. So they got that. Like, they're playing better in that sense. That number has lowered. They're playing more efficient. Fine. They're improving. If you want to say they're improving, that's fine. This sounds almost like the person who goes, whenever you criticize any athlete, they go like, oh, well, anybody who made it to the NFL is a good player. Like
true.
But it's stupid. We're not talking, obviously, about in the context of the world. We're talking about the context of the other 32. You are bad on that tier.
You're not taking into account the way athletes have to think. It's like they all think like this. They all think they're better than who's the worst team in the league? Jets? I mean, maybe the Cowboys, for crying out loud. They all think they're better than they are, than their record shows.
Micah, but the Jets and Giants, I don't think should be saying and shouldn't be thinking we're damn good.
Well, you could think the talent on the team is damn good.
They're not a damn good football team in any sense. Zip, zero, nada.
Okay, but again, you're missing the point. That's not the point. don't take it literally. You have to know that you're, I mean, like, you know, when we have a bad ratings book, do we say we're not a damn good radio show?
Yeah, but over the span of, and we're also not judged the same as the Cowboys
are. No, we're not.
We're judged on a random system.
Of course it is, but still, it's the same concept. It's the same concept. You have to think you're better.
Here's where your thinking is off. If you think everything is fine and dandy and you're like, it may cause you not to improve, work is hard, or think that you have as far to go as you do. You understand that? Like, if Jerry Jones thinks, well, we got a damn good football team, maybe that causes them not to add as much as they should or replace or change as much as we all see and know that they should. If he's thinking the same mindset and mentality, we got a damn good football, it could stop you and prevent you from doing the work to progress to get where you need to go.
Do you? So you say that's an athlete mindset. So you would have a problem if you heard this quote from McCarthy then? Or do you think it applies to coaches too?
Well, I mean, if Mike had faith in the players that he has, that they're just not playing well, like you could be good and performing poorly.
Yes, but they're not. Right?
No, they're not. They're genuinely...
Especially given their injuries. The group they have together right now is a bad team.
Yeah, I don't think Mike is looking at injuries. I think Mike is looking at the whole season. Right? That's my perspective.
Mike has been sober in a lot of his takes before where he'll say, we're not playing well or we're bad. Or well, he's done that before, so I don't know why right now he would buy in to that extent. I think he's probably just...
He's got seven games left.
My thought is they were so bad the first 8 weeks, seven, 8 weeks, that now that he's seen some improvement... He's buying in too much to what they're at. But no, there's complacency in saying you're damn good.
A new team is up for the Disrespect Award. What they are doing to this NFC East quarterback, we have a battle of the Fatsos. And Jim Harbaugh says, appreciate it because you are watching and experiencing one of the greatest of all time. Around the rest of the NFL with Sean, RJ, and Bobby next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thank you, Chris Strong, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. Peyton is out sick today. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube as we go around the rest of the National Football League. And it appears that they are doing Daniel Jones really, 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 really dirty. I said that four times.
Really dirty. That is what the...
I got what you did there.
The players on the team are saying. The Giants players... according to Jordan Schultz, said there's disappointment among some of the players regarding how the situation was handled over the past week, because it was a bye week, right? So they had a extra time, and it'll kind of let them sit and stew for a little bit, and they get back to practice after the couple of off days, and hey, it's Tommy DeVito. The players especially were aware it was a financial decision by the organization. That really hacked them off. Because the reason that they did this, obviously, was one, I mean, there's a playing perspective to it, but also he had an injury guarantee of $20+ million for the next year. So the Giants, that's why they made him the third string. Because if they made him the second string, and there's a Drew Lock issue with the second string, but if they made him the second string and the quarterback got hurt, he'd be thrust into the game.
Some even said he was the fourth string yesterday at practice.
Legitimately, he's taking snaps as the fourth quarterback.
I sent that to one of the meatballs, and they're like, we don't have four quarterbacks. And I was
practice
like,
practice squad.
Here you go.
Here you go.
It's practice squad quarterbacks. We're getting more reps. The third practice squad quarterback was getting more reps.
For the record, though,
mm-hmm.
We all would do the same thing if we were running the Giants.
Well, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't.
I'm not setting up any possibility of him getting hurt to pay him $20 million when I'm getting away from him.
I would do the same thing. Now, you're going to have to deal with the blowback of maybe a union gripe, if there is one. Yeah. You know, whatever. You gotta deal
with
that.
I'm not worried about the players, though. Like, we suck. We're terrible. I'm not robbing you of any playoff opportunity. This is not an Indianapolis Colts situation of Flacco versus Richardson. You're terrible. You can bitch about it, but I don't care.
I'm not letting him start. I think the very public way in which they're just throttling him down the depth chart is pretty
okay.
Crappy.
What quarterback would you have him be on game day? You're gonna have him be the two?
Whatever he can be is good. Like I'm saying, when you are having a practice squad quarterback take reps ahead of him and basically very publicly show that you are the very bottom of the bottom. I agree. You're being being petty and a very public display of just this is punishment for you taking money from us over the last couple of years or something. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Now, who has a bigger gripe, though? Like, him as the fourth or Drew Locke, who was complaining yesterday that I was brought in here, told I am the two, and I would get the first opportunity, and here it was. I get leapfrogged by the third quarterback, and I'm still sitting here as the backup, which is what he was complaining about yesterday. He was saying that he was told that was his whole reason that he was brought in was to be that guy.
Jim Harbaugh says, you need to appreciate it. You're watching greatness in Justin Herbert. Quote, enjoy it. He's not only one of the best in the game currently, he's one of the best of all time. I do not feel at all like I'm going out on a limb in saying that. Everything you could say about a quarterback and then some, talent and effort, just intangibles that are off the charts. Every measurement you could have for a quarterback, tangible or intangible, he possesses at the highest level. It's like being around greatness every day.
I saw this yesterday and I said to myself, this might trigger Chop more than a Kevin Garnett being on the top 25 athletes of the last 25 years kind of list. But no, look,
this is a player's dream, though.
Yeah. Look, Harbaugh in general feels like he's just the perfect coach for at least a window. He's a guy to push you over an edge. That's why I always liked the idea of him here in Dallas. As a guy who could just kind of push a group over the edge. But for all the talk of just how great Herbert's been and how Herbert's been allowed to flourish under Jim Harbaugh this year, which if you look at, you know, the fact that he's limited his interceptions and they're winning games and those things are good. And there's like a very efficient game that he's playing from the counting numbers, as we call them, his raw statistics and the peripheral like analytics are all way down for him. His QBR is the worst of his career. He's averaging just over 200 passing yards a game. And so it's like, okay, where's the balance? Is Harbaugh protecting Herbert from himself?
Yeah.
And it looks like it's a worse quarterback, but he's better for their team that way. Or, because I mean, to talk about an all-time great quarterback that you seem to be limiting, that seems odd to me.
Saw this little, this juicy little nugget here, Bobby. He is one of two quarterbacks in the top 10 in both explosive play rate and negative play rate.
That's odd.
But in a negative play rate in a good way.
Like he's limiting them. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
So the other one is Russ. That's it.
Russ
is they're the only two in the top 10. So like the goal obviously is to have a lot more explosive plays than negative plays. And then you got like your Cooper Rush, who is at the very, very bottom. Only 3% of his plays are explosive plays, but 16% of his plays are negative.
My God, that's one out of every six plays for Cooper Rush is a negative
play.
That's so bad. But this is, I mean, look, it's nice. Harbaugh is, like you said, he's the dream for a player because he's going to do nothing but build you up and talk about how great you are.
He's a walking, breathing pep rally. Yeah. That's what he is.
Yeah, he is.
He's a 24/7 pep rally.
He's like if you let Chris Arnold be a head coach, he's just going to build you up and tell you, like, you're the man, you're the best I've ever heard, you're the best I've ever seen play.
But are you guys changing, is this season changing your opinion about Herbert at all or much?
It's changing my mind about how a team has to win with Herbert, maybe. Like, I've always felt like Herbert was limited by what was going on around him, that he was really talented, and I still think he is, that he was really talented.
He's had capable. Weapons, though.
Right, yeah. It's guys who have been injury-prone or getting older, though, and so he's had large sections of his career where those guys end up missing. So it does make me feel like more you do need somebody who's going to kind of rein him in and play within certain boundaries.
Barstool is calling it a fat off between a Cleveland Browns commentator and player DeJuan Jones.
DeJuan Jones.
I know DeJuan Jones.
This is the fat off.
Personally?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
Because I got to know him during the draft process. We follow each other on Twitter and stuff.
Look at this.
Cute.
So this is a guy by the name of Adam the Bull.
Oh,
Adam the Bull. That's a Cleveland sports talk name, right? Yeah. That's right there.
Corn fed.
So there's this TV show they've got. It's a Cleveland sports TV. Think like old school Brady Tinker, right?
Just sitting. That's the second Brady Tinker reference on the air this week, by
is
the
it?
Way. It is.
Okay, so think of that, right? So just sitting around a table, wannabe sports reporters and everything like that. And Adam the Bull, who Adam is not small.
No.
he is not small. He is a very, 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 very large man. He can rest a beer right here on his stomach when he's sitting, and yes. It will not go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
He says that you can't trust DeJuan Jones.
I think DeJuan is one of those players that you have to go into a season not counting on him. And if he's there and he can play, okay. But you can't rely on that guy because he's got a weight problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's very hard to defeat. I don't know him personally, so I don't know, but most likely he's got an addiction when it comes to food, and it's very hard to overcome. And he's probably going to gain a ton of weight dealing with this injury. I would not be surprised. And he has already in 2 years been hurt like 4 or 5 times. So there's no way that the Browns can go into next season saying, we've got our left tackle, it's all set. You can't do that.
DeJuan Jones, who follows Bobby Belt apparently on Twitter.
Yeah.
Next, whatever you want to call it. Responds to this. I think we both have a weight problem. But I'll be better this offseason. Adam is big. Adam is big. Now, is he gonna catch heat for saying he's got an addiction to food? But like also it's not like he's a big guy. He might have an interesting like perspective on it because he knows that maybe this is an addiction for me.
But you can't accuse somebody of having an addiction with nothing to back that up just because he is a big guy. He is 6'9", 374.
Adam the Bull?
No, DeJuan Jones.
Oh.
He is 6'9", 374. He's got 36.5-inch arms. That's most offensive tackles have 34. So he has 2.5-inch longer arms. His hands are almost 12 inches in span. He is a giant human being. So that's why it's like one of those things where I don't know that he obviously is bigger. They probably don't want him playing at that big a size. But to just assume he's got a addiction when he's clearly just a massive human in every regard seems reckless to talk like that.
The National Football League checked in with Netflix, apparently, according to Dan Graziano, and said, you sure? You sure we're good?
Sure.
We got Beyonce performing halftime.
Are you sure?
Are you positive we're okay after what happened during the fight? And Netflix is like, yeah. We just weren't expecting 60 million people.
Right. 60 million. And you won't have 60 million for the football games. So they don't have to worry about that. The highest rated game this year was the Chiefs Bills.
31.
Which is 31 million. It's half that. They're not going to get 60.
On broadcast, on network television.
Right. You're not going to get 60 million at noon on Christmas Day. To tune into this.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of, though? It reminds me of when I wake up late and I show up late here and I tell you guys, like,
you used to.
And I say, it's not going to happen again. And then it happens a week later. And it's one of those things where
I hope it happens again.
I got it. It's not. That's the Kristen hates that phrase for me more than anything else. When she starts trying to tell me, hey, what happened here? And I just start going, I got it. Yeah. That seems like what Netflix is doing. Like, yeah, we get it. We sucked it, but we got it. Don't worry. It's fixed. All right. Which tells me it's not fixed. The fact that they're trying to dismiss it so much and just we don't even know there was a problem. Then it's a little like Micah, right? Like Micah saying, we're a great team. Netflix is like, we had a great broadcast. What are you talking about? It was how many people could even say they had a broadcast, you know?
Michael Irvin and Rocky are in agreement that Mike Tyson was not allowed to uppercut or take certain shots at Jake Paul. So first we had the script that my brother tried to have me read on the air and look like an idiot of the way the fight was going to happen. Here's the actual script, like WrestleMania. And now you have the internet taking one 2 seconds of the fight where Mike did not pull the trigger with a right, and they're like, no, it was in the contract. He couldn't take certain shots at Jake Paul.
Dude, so when we were, when I was at the fight, there were people that were showing or they were saying that there was in the contract that Mike wouldn't have gotten paid if he knocked him out in the first round. Or that Jake got an extra $500,000 or $5 million, whatever, if the fight went 5 rounds. So like all these conspiracy theories came out about what the fight rules were. And there's a ton of videos showing that, because in the first round, Mike was like the aggressor in the first round. There's no doubt about that. There was a couple situations where like, okay, he may have been able to have him, but he didn't for a number of reasons. One of them, which is he has a bad knee and he's 60 years old. And as Andy Reid told Jason Kelce, once your glutes go, you're gone. You're done, right? So, but the issue is that what is actually video? Did Jake tap him on the back when they were hugging and that was the signal? Or did Jake do something because Mike did let up on that one? Who knows? Who knows? But people love conspiracies. No, you're not going to convince anybody.
Can RJ Choppy possibly fill in for Phillip Payton Russell? The payload. We attempt to still do it with the Thursday edition. Justin Timberlake tickets coming up during the expressway. The great Brian Mitchell previews Washington. Let's see if RJ can handle the payload next.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Payton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Payton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Payton just does board hopping.
All right, I guess.
That is right.
That is right. I'm sorry. That is right. Payton is out, sick. His second missed day of work of the week, and that's why we start with a good little story I like to call work ethic. Because Bobby was really critical of Payton's work ethic on Tuesday. Okay, because Payton worked until the same time Chris Strong did and decided that it was time for Chris Strong to come on in and do his role.
Chris, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about Payton's absence or when he takes off Monday when you're working the same hours?
So I've told Payton I'm cool with it. I like the hours. You know, I like being with you guys in the morning.
Oh, well.
So
that's very,
I don't mind it.
That's a pro's response. That is a part-timer's response who has not secured his benefits yet.
Yeah.
Payton has secured his benefits and is so confident in them, he can tell us on Tuesday that he knows he's going to be sick on Thursday.
All right, yeah. So is this bad work ethic or is this good, smart boundaries that this person is creating at the workplace? A text message was sent from a junior employee to their senior employee, to their boss, saying, I stayed till 8:30 tonight to get this thing done. I'm coming in tomorrow at 11:30 in the morning.
Was that from Tim Collins?
It was not from Tim Collins. It was not from Tim Collins. This is not like somebody with seniority.
That's the new drop Peyton's been playing of Babe's chuckle.
Let me hear it. Okay. Loffenberg at 8:40 today. We'll see what he thinks of that.
Now, the senior employee posted this on social media. This is where it's got all the reaction. 6.5 million people, I'm sorry, 7.5 million people viewed this post where she's like, these kids are something else. He stayed late. Now he's going to show up late to the office to make up for it. What a move. I am speechless. The commenters, largely on the employee side, saying, like, just because he has a life doesn't mean that you have to put him on blast for that.
Yeah.
So is that bad work ethic or is that a good boundary that you're setting with your employer?
Great question.
Or is it both?
I don't know how regular jobs work.
I don't either. I have no idea.
This is such a different industry than the ones other people are in.
Like, I would think, again, ignorant to all this, I would think if you stay till 8:30 or 9, you should be able to come in a little bit later the next day. I would think that. Mm-hmm. For us, it doesn't matter, right? If the NFL draft has a bomb scare and gets shut down or sheet metal falls from the draft and there's a 2-hour delay, we have to finish the draft. We have to start our show at 6:00 in the morning. There is no wiggle room. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. In an office, I would think you have the understanding with your boss of, hey, you just got to work till the job is done, or there are a certain amount of hours that you're just responsible for during your week, let us know on the fan text.
Yeah, because like I know my brother, when he at his job, they had told him like once you got to 40 hours, like they didn't want you. They would get mad if you clocked overtime. So like, for instance, in that setting, when you get to 40 hours, you're done. So you do have to kind of stagger your work that way because they're not paying overtime.
Yeah.
And so
like with Tim, all jokes aside, if Tim is on the post game show till 1 or 2 in the morning, I don't think he should be in here at 8:30 or 9 a.m. Like come in a little bit later because you worked all the extra hours for a long ass day.
Yeah. But it's the whole thing with Peyton just comes from. It's bitterness probably on my part.
Why are we going back to Peyton? We're talking about this topic.
Because this is the topic. This is the topic. This is the topic about the work, the amount that you work. Is that I come from a school of thought within this industry.
Here we go. Newspaper on the feet.
Here we go. This guy never worked in the news industry until 2 years ago.
Please. I've been around this industry longer than you have.
Remember pushing buttons for Ted Cruz.
Oh, well, my daddy worked in this industry, so I saw it at 11.
Regardless, I was
So am I a consultant? Am I in trucking? I know all about
We're done?
Oh, we got some buttons being pushed. Man. We got some real buttons being pushed here, not by Peyton.
More than Peyton's pushed all week. Now, that's the entire radio industry is a... The thought of it is you grind. Like, that's what you're supposed to pick up crappy hours and pick up shifts. It's like I come from that like era of like that's how you get to where you want to be is by picking up the 16-hour shift that then on your timesheet they're going to have to be like, oh, we're not going to put that down as 16 straight hours at work. Let's break that up a little bit because we can't have that on the corporate sheets like that. That's where I come from. And so it's just... It's probably
and now
more
I'm
a generational issue.
And
with
now
me
I'm
going to
give you the opposite perspective.
Uh-huh.
Peyton probably feels like, all right, I already sat here and made it. I'm not trying to climb up. I'm not trying to sit there making it on a full-time show anymore. And then the man and woman versus corporate mentality. Peyton probably makes next to nothing. And if you find days off and loopholes or opportunities... So go ahead, relax and chill, and you're in a comfortable position, go ahead and do it.
Yep.
That was our argument before crosstalk in the commercial break yesterday. So there you go, Pepe. I got you.
There you go. Have y'all ever told your significant other to take down?
You're also on air, and no offense, Peyton, no offense, Chris. Like, if Chris was working every Cowboys Monday... We wouldn't know a difference. Ooh. So not having Peyton here on a Cowboy Monday, as long as the cuts for the game are done, does not matter.
I notice a difference because I notice it's better. we have a better show.
I notice the reads don't have the stuttering and the stammering.
Have you all ever told your significant other to take down a social media post? We don't know if this is what happened between Paul Skeens and Libby Dunn.
Ooh.
But it might have been.
Was that CeeDee Lamb energy? In that viral video,
the hug, I mean, she cheeked him.
Man, she looks like. Did you already talk about this?
We did not talk about that part of it, no.
All right, when he got announced Rookie of the Year, she looks like she is absolutely infatuated and in love with him, and he's giving a look like, get off of me.
Yeah.
Do not be sitting here and treating me and touching me like this in public.
And she goes to hug him, and there was kind of a way to kiss, but. It got awkward, and she gave him the left cheek to his left cheek.
The Melania.
Yeah. She cheeked him.
Ugh, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's uncomfortable.
This is the first time you've seen it?
Yeah, I hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah. And she posted an Instagram post.
She's at every game. She's offering for fans to sit next to her in her suite if they find these rookie cards or whatever the hell they're doing.
She's awesome. Like, she is like she's one of the best girlfriends of an athlete that there is out there, right? She's just she seems so cool. He seems... deadpan.
Yeah.
Like no emotion.
Yeah.
So she posts this photo and it's the same picture and it's Paul Skeens happy, Paul Skeens sad, Paul Skeens angry, surprised, frustrated, Paul Skeens winning Rookie of the Year. And it's just the same picture. And it's just like, I have the same look.
She posted that?
She posted that. Well, it's gone.
Mm.
So did his agent say something? Did the production, her people say something?
What about
him? Did he say something? What happened here?
I have never told Kristen to take something down. I've made a comment on like, Why'd you post that like a couple different times? And then she just snap deletes it. Like, okay, fine, I'll just delete it. It's like, you don't have to delete it. I was asking what it was.
You didn't tell her to take down that last thing?
No, I did not. I was like, what is this? And then she went and deleted it. She's like, she deleted it, and then she deleted her entire Facebook after that. Oh. I was like, reactivate.
A very belt reaction.
Wow, that is a very, holy cow, you two are one of the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Opposites don't attract.
My wife tells me, don't post that. Don't post it. I never have to worry about it with her. She doesn't really care about social media with it. But if I'm taking a dig or I'm writing back a listener or just I've been waiting for this petty restaurant post that I've been waiting to post. And I haven't done it because I feel like she's going to say something. But she'll roll her eyes at that stuff. But I thought that Paul Skeens was going to have to take something down in order to apologize to her. Not that she was going to have to take something down with the way his face looked after the reaction.
Yep, it was. I mean, you thought that may have been it. I've never had to.
I hate Paul Skeens.
Real? Okay. Because he's got Libby?
Yeah, he's got, basically. But, you know, I'm like, yeah, you don't deserve her. You look like a goober who's dead inside. You're too good. You're too fantastic. You got this girl living in, you know, Pittsburgh with you, like Tay-Tay is doing for Travis Kelce. So I'm not a Paul Skeens fan.
Man, he was asked a question a while back. Do you think, what chance do you give Livy of hitting your fastball? And he looks so offended by the question. Like, are you kidding me? They hit my fastball?
He's a big Traeger guy, though, Paul Skeens. I'm just saying.
He's a real master. If he's a real man, he'd cook with wood.
There you go.
That's a little grill dig. Right,
yeah. Instead, Livy's cooking with the wood.
Shout out Alec Medford. By the way, I'll be cooking my turkey on a pellet because I ain't sitting outside the freezing cold.
What do you think about...
I didn't know Alec Medford was a grill guy. He had the Meat Church turkey brine.
How's he see over the grill? Sorry, Meddy.
Laufenberg. Q Laufenberg.
What is the most empty gesture you've ever given somebody? The John Stamos, Dave Coulier photo.
Oh, man.
So Dave Coulier is cousin Joey from Friends. Also, Full House.
Yep.
Also, perhaps, maybe we think, the antagonist in the You Oughta Know song.
Yep.
Or as a protagonist, I don't know. But anyway, Stamos posts on Instagram, nothing like throwing on a bald cap and flexing some Photoshop skills to show some love and solidarity with my bro, Dave Coulier, who is going through a very aggressive form of cancer. And he's fighting this very aggressive form of cancer. And people are like, hey, you know what? My friend lost his arm, so I'm tucking my arm inside my shirt to show solidarity for my friend. Now, listen, like, if I had John Stamos' hair, I'm not sure I would shave that off either. That is a tremendous set of locks that he has his age.
Just post the photo of you, like, sitting with him then. Yeah. You don't, like...
Don't put on the cap.
You don't put on the bald cap. That's where he screwed up.
What about a Snapchat bald filter?
Worse? Yep.
This is bad. This is bad, and John Stamos is getting roasted for this one.
Man, someone said, listen, I read Stamos' book. He's not particularly bright. This makes complete sense. This is crazy, like you prepped a photo shoot moment, got makeup done, wore a bald cap for your friend battling cancer. The way Uncle Jesse talked about his hair, it's not surprising in the least.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the same guy, as was said on a celebrity roast, this is the same guy who lost Rebecca Romijn to the fat kid from Stand By Me. So this is kind of on brand.
That's really a bad way of just like dismissing what Jerry O'Connell became.
That's fair.
You know?
That's fair. So there you go. Payload.
The Payload with RJ Choppy filling in for Philip Russell here on DFW Sports Station. We have a Justin Timberlake ticket giveaway, but we also have a college football kegger. Is this the last home game for Arch Manning? And Choppy says, nice to know you, Brent Venables, because it's about to be over. College football kegger with Sean and RJ next.